right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let me see.
Hello?
Hi, I'm trying to get hold of Timothy Hodge, please. I have an interview at 7 o'clock with him. It's Tino.
This is Timothy Hodge.
Hi, this is Tino.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Priscilla gave me your number to give you a call.
Yes, no, you're good. I'm just so happy to speak with you. I read about you and soliciting your information. You have an impressive background, and, you know,
thank you.
You don't know how excited I am right now because I was reading. First of all, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners? Let them know who you are for those who are not familiar with you.
My name is Tinu. I'm a singer. I'm a designer. I also do fashion modeling once in a while these days. And my friends call me Jane of All Trades. I'm working on another project which is far different from everything I have mentioned so far. Pretty much many dots on the wall, one of them's got a stick.
Now, you're from Brooklyn? Is it Brooklyn you're
yeah,
from?
Yeah, I was born in Brooklyn, but I'm actually from Nigeria. I'm off Nigerian parent, yes.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. And, you know, you have such a great look, and, your style is brilliant.
Thank
and,
you.
I'm just so fascinated by your resume, what I read, and things that I read about you. Now, how did you actually get started in this fashion? You know, that was you started first, correct? Fashion?
Fashion, I was a teenager when that started. I remember shopping at Macy's with my cousin. I had just come back to America then. And some guy came with a business card and said, have you ever considered modeling and everything? And, of course, I'm not so naive to the whole business of it because I've been watching back then I used to watch Elsa Clench on CNN a lot when I was a little girl, so I knew what the whole, you know, side of the whole business entailed. And, you know, I gave the business cards to my uncle at that time whom I was living with, and he said, no way, you're not going to be a model. You know, they use them for prostitution and all this stuff. This was the mentality of Africans back then. And he refused me, forbade me from ever becoming a model. And months go by, about another 4 months later, it happened again, this time around on Fifth Avenue. And I got a card, and this time around, I did not give it to my uncle. I just basically went there and, you know, did the whole measuring and the weighing thing, and boom, 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 and the rest was history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how have you enjoyed your modeling career, you know, in the world of fashion? How have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed it. I'm not going to deny it. It was a great stepping stone. It wasn't my first passion. You know, it was just, okay, wow, thank God, come to America. I don't have to work at McDonald's as a little young girl, a teenager trying to pave their way through American life. So I can't complain. It really, really did help. Traveling the world, working, you know, on this island or that island or this Caribbean part of the world, you get to meet people. It definitely opened doors, so I cannot complain. But, fortunately for me, I wasn't one of those who got wrapped up in drugs or starving myself to be thin or whatever. So I just basically coasted my life through it. It was just like another job. And now today I see it more like a hobby as opposed to a job.
Right.
So it's changed over time, you know.
Right. You took my question right out of my mouth, because I was just getting ready to ask you about that as a model. Because, you know, and I asked so many models that have came on the show about that. How do you keep yourself away from that? Because, you know, I've seen so many models, supermodels, that, you know, they starve themselves and they become anorexic and they.
I know. I saw a couple who would eat a very expensive meal, and next, you know, they're in the bathroom doing God knows what. And I felt sorry for their boyfriends who had to pay for it. I did see a couple of that. And I think, you know, you start off as a teenager, and you're 13, you're 14, you grow up skinny, and everything's all hunky-dory. But as you get older, you grow curves. You know, you change, your body changes. And some people, they can't take it. They cannot accept that their body does change. And for me, it was like, wow, whoopoo, thank God, now I got curves. Because I remember growing up as a teenager, my friends would make fun of me, like, oh, I'm a size one. Meaning, you know, I was a stick. No curve, no boom, no nothing. I was just a stick. And, you know, as I got older, over 18, I started to get curves, you know, boobs and hips and everything. I said, oh, this is good. I welcome with open arms. I was very happy. So I looked better in clothes as opposed to, you know, my runway days when I was a stick. I was a hanger. And, you know, as you get older and you start to go, then you start to do more liquor commercial, you start to do more, you know, more sexier things as opposed to you looking guck like a hanger on the runway.
Right.
So for me it was, wow, I was very happy to get some hips, to get some boobs. So it was a different story for me, yes.
Right. And, you know, another model said, oh, I don't see how they do it. He said, because I eat what I want. He said, I just go to the gym and burn it off. And, I mean, I like that part better than saying you have to be sick and then, you know, you can't.
Yeah, I'm not a gym rat. I hate gym. I don't do gym. My own way of burning things off, when I hear there's a party over here, I'm there and I dance from the moment I walk in to the time they say, okay, time to pack up and go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just dancing. For me, dancing is my workout. I love to dance, you know, just work every part. You know how you go up and down, you know, you hold your hip and you just go up and down, up and down, up and down. You burn your thighs. People think like, oh, she's a great dancer. Oh, my God. No, and I'm actually working my thighs.
Right.
And it happens a lot in the clubs. It's a free gym. It's a free gym. You put your arms up, do a couple of times like you're doing hooray and clapping over your head. People think, oh, my gosh, that's a good move. Yeah, I'm working out. So for me, dancing is a gym.
Right. And if there's something that you can change about the fashion world, what would you change about it?
I think it's the fickleness I would change. People are very fickle. They smile at you, but their smile is never deep. Their smile is only when they want something from you. Oh, how are you, Tina? Oh, my God. I haven't seen you in ages. Oh, my God. You know, and they give you a kiss, the air kiss you on the left, the air kiss you on the right. And they could turn around and go, oh, I can't believe that bitch got that job. The job I was meaning to get last week. I cannot believe it. I'm better looking than she is. It happens a lot. I've seen it. You know, fickleness. You know, you're only as good as your last job, and other models want to be your friends because, oh, she landed the big commercial last week, and suddenly you're the in friend to have. And the moment they see that you're not getting work anymore, you're starting to phase out, they don't call you anymore. It's very fickle.
I like your meaning of a fickle. I like that. I just came out since said it. I like to call it phoniness, but you said I like your word better. That is so true. That is so absolutely true. And not only that happens in fashion, but in like the entertainment industry. Period.
I think it's show business. Period. Any business where you're not inventing anything, where you're not making anything, you're not creating anything, you're not selling anything. Where you're just looking pretty, you know, be it movie, be it photo shoot, be it, you know, whatever. Yeah, the fickleness runs deep. Same thing in Hollywood. They laugh at you. Once they hear your director, oh, my God, you're their best friend. Oh, they laugh at you. They laugh with you. They kiss your ear cheek. And, you know, they want to be your friend. Their voice changes. Suddenly the voice becomes lighter. Hi, I've been meaning to call you. Oh, my God, you're so adorable. As opposed to, yeah, you know, I ain't got time, you know. I'm going to call you, but I'm going to call you, you know. I've been so busy. I'm going to get back to you. I promise. You know, my people will call your people. Whatever. You know, it changes. I've seen it. I'm serious. It does change.
Absolutely.
The result there, kiss the butt voice for the I don't want you in my face voice. The two different voices there. People in show business have many voices.
Right.
They do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, to the music side we go. What made you want to do music, and how did you actually get started in that area?
That started when I was in high school. I was in a boarding school where you had to put your hair in one style, wear uniform, all that stuff. So we had to make life for ourselves by having what's called the drama club. So, you know, you perform for people, I mean, for your classmates and whatnot. So, you know, I got over my stage rights from there. You know, doing group numbers and stage numbers for the school. And, you know, but when I left high school, you know, I'd forgotten all about it, moved on to modeling. That took over my life. And everything got in about phase about 2001, because I used to live next to the Water Center in Battery Park City. You know, these people die right in front of you. And it just hit me like, wait a minute. It was like a switch.
Mm-hmm.
That very moment was like a light switch. Someone just turned on that switch like, wow, look at what you used to do before you became a model. So I just basically packed my bag, because we had to leave that neighborhood at that time anyway, because, you know, the security had to clean the whole Water Center area. So we were told to leave for a couple of months and then come back.
So I used the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and meet people and start recording my music. And that was really how it all started again. It was a slap in the face. Someone slapped me and just woke up and go, oh, these are the things you could also do.
Mm.
That's how everything just started. I just went back into it. It was picking up. It's like picking up from where I left off. Like just like in high school, I used to do a lot of painting, but I don't paint anymore. Now I use the ability to do my sketching and all that for the design of bags or jewelry or whatever. But to go back into all painting on canvas, I'm dying to do that when I have the time. I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I miss it.
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And so you can, you're going to release the album pretty soon, correct?
Yeah, in October.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear and see how, you know, hear how it sounds, you know. And I would love to attend an album release party or whatever type of thing.
We're hoping to get one done soon, very, very soon, here in New York City. And there's a magazine that I graced the cover, and they're hoping to do like a launch party around that too. So I don't know what's going on with that yet, but I'm hoping it does happen. It'll be nice.
I would love to attend. How do you feel to have graced so many covers of big magazines and to be appeared in different magazines?
Well, I wish I could say, yeah, I graced many covers, but I didn't really grace many covers. I graced a few. You should be my publicist. Just kidding. It feels good. You walk on by the newsstand, and, you know, of course you would have gotten your advance copies in the mail, but, you know, to walk by the newsstand and people open a magazine and there you are. And funny enough, you know what's so funny? When I walk down the street and there's a poster of me on the wall somewhere, people did not know it's me. Because my everyday life is different from when I'm, you know, action camera ready and lights, you know, makeup is all on, everything looks beautiful, and wow, you look dolled up. But my everyday life, I could be without makeup. My hair's a mess, and I'm in slippers, maybe, or some days I get all dolled up or whatever, but people do not believe I'm the one in the magazine or in the poster.
Right.
You know, which is good, because I don't want to be stalked. I don't want to be followed, or I don't want to be, just like, ooh, look at her, whatever. It's nice to have that two life where that job is that job you got paid for, you move on. So, and in my everyday life, I could be a bag lady in the middle of the street looking not that different from a beggar on the street, but, hey, I have a life. That is my life, my personal life. And I'm a very personal person. I'm a very private person. So I've learned to differentiate and kind of I think I'm very fortunate that I have two lives, where one is more show business. You see me in a magazine or whatever, and you see me in real life. You had to do a double take and go, is that really her?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like not to look like my work on a day to day basis. So that's my take on that.
You have a song. Something about a shoeaholic or
it's so funny. We've been talking about it all day today about doing the video and MTV based on exclusivity on it and that kind of stuff. So it's been really good. That started with I was basically arranging my shoes. I have, believe it or not, I'm ashamed to even say the number. I'm going to keep it very safe and say a couple of hundreds of shoes.
<Wow. laughs>
To not embarrass myself, I'm going to keep it at that number. And I was just going through my numbers and trying to, you know, organize my wardrobe. And I just realized, oh, my God, there are three pairs of shoes of the same style. I had bought it twice. Without knowing that, I had it before. I mean, stupid. So I was arranging the shoes and dusting and rearranging and putting things away, and I started to sing to my shoes. And I go, this kind of sounds good. Next thing you know, I whip out my tape recorder and started recording. And out of joke, just like that, boom, it stuck. And I recorded it. Because every shoe in my closet has got a story to it. I know where I was, how much I paid for it, and what was surrounding that, you know, the story in my life when I bought that shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that, just like that, boom, I wrote a shoe, Shoeaholic, and it is true to form. There have been situations where I couldn't pay my bills, but I had to have that shoe. I had to have it. So, yeah, it's true to form. It wasn't lying.
That's amazing. You made it out of a song.
Yeah, I made it out of song just like that. So now we actually, I just had a meeting with the director today. We're looking to do, we talked about a treatment for the video to get the shoe done, the shoe video done. And it's going to be very colorful. We're looking at like a mod era Twiggy kind of fashion sense back then. And it's very funny. We're going with a comedy angle for the video, very different from the one I have now. The other one was more sex appeal and more sensual and all that, but this one is funny. You know, girl who can afford her rent or buy food on the table, and there is she wants to eat her shoes.
Right, that sort of thing.
So, yeah, I'm very happy about that. Because people were trying to get me to do this video first before the other one, but I sort of waited now to do this one. I think it was a good timing for this
one.
You know, I don't want to burn it out over the summer.
And there's word that I supposed to appear in the video, but I don't know how true that is. We gotta see how much that's gonna be true.
I know. Well, I'm in the city. Feel free to stop by. It's gonna be here in Manhattan, in Soho. You know, come and make a cameo. But here's the catch: you must have hot shoes to make a cameo. You gotta have hot shoes. It's all about. I'm just a prop in the video, by the way. The shoes are the stars, and I was very fortunate. I already have people like Christian Louboutin who want to. Loan me a couple of their hot pieces numbers that had to make a cameo in the shoe. I mean, I'm just the prop in the video. The shoes are the stars in the video.
Now, would it be a surprising to you if this song gets a Grammy nomination?
I would be shocked. That would be a big honor, but I don't see it happening. But let's see. My fairy godmother is around the corner. I think she heard that. Maybe I should go play the lottery today. Have you heard it's $325 million? That's not so bad. It will be nice. It will be very nice. It will be a shock.
Right.
You know, not a lot of people have heard the song yet because we haven't really milked it yet. We haven't even begun to milk it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be, you know what? I would not be surprised, to be honest, because if the likes of Sex and the City, which are more fashion-friendly and whatnot, have been very successful, I don't see why this one will not, because the video is going to be in that kind of style, very fashion, very glamour. I think every woman can relate to it, to be honest. You know, I'm sure at some point in life of a woman, there's come a time where you got to have that shoe, but here you are, you're skipping your breakfast, lunch, and dinner to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I think it's mass appeal.
It's a different song. It's out of the ordinary about some, you know, it's different. So
I think I said what a lot of people wanted to say, but they're afraid to say it. I think I said it for them.
Mm-hmm.
In the song, that's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of women I know would not admit to, you know, can't pay their rent or skipping their meals to be able to buy it. You know, that shoe of that color, you know, of that season. But, you know, they go out and pride and say, oh, look at me, I'm so beautiful, my shoe. But they don't say what happened or the situation surrounding the money they used to get. You know, God forbid, I'm sure there's some girls who had to prostitute themselves just to get some shoes.
Right.
You never know.
Right. What was that question? Oh, my goodness. I just don't have the question in my head. There we go. You're fluent in, like, what, 5 different languages?
Yes, I'm very, very well-traveled. I'm very, very, very honored for that and very glad and happy, I thank God. I tend to sponge when I go to a foreign country. You know what I mean by sponge? Meaning when I get to that country, my accent changes to mimic how people sound there.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I'm talking to you, I sound like, okay, I probably have an accent, but you probably trying to detect where she from. Well, she sounds kind of funny. But when I'm in Africa, I sound very African.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when I'm in England, you would have thought, ooh, I was related to the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in Norway, I sound like that too. And while I'm there, I tend to pick up languages easily.
Mm-hmm.
I learn it because I dress like the people. I eat what the people eat. I speak what they speak. I learned. You know, for instance, India. I was there for almost 2 months. I picked up India easily. Also, it helped that being in Nigeria, growing up then, you know, Indian movie was everywhere. So for me, I've been watching their movies since I was five. So to actually be in the country, it was easy for me to pick up. And then also I wear the sari. And luckily being black was beneficial there because the people from the South were as dark as me. Mm-hmm. And to hear me speak the language sometimes, it was beneficial. I didn't have to pay a tourist price because they thought I was Indian. Mm-hmm. You see, so I would hear them charging a tourist. I remember a beautiful carpet I bought. This is a very good story. I bought a beautiful carpet, and before I bought that carpet, I stood in a corner just watching them rip off five Italians. They charged Italians $10,000 for that piece of rug.
Wow.
And after they'd left, I went to them. I didn't speak Hindi at first. I spoke in English. And I said, I want that same rug. And while the Italians were there, they had told it, well, they were talking amongst themselves about what was their cost price and how much should they charge the Italians. You see, they had said in Hindi that their cost price was $200. But these people, they really, really want that rug, let's charge them $10,000. And they pay for it. So when they left, I said, I want to pay $1,000 for that rug. I said, I'm already giving you $800 profit.
Right.
They were like, whoa, how do you know? Blah, 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 blah. I said, what? And I started to respond back in Hindi. And before you know it, they were serving me tea and sweets, and we were partying in the store. And
right.
I paid $1,000 for that rug. So I think it's very, very beneficial when people go to a foreign country to learn the language, learn the culture, even if you don't look like them. I think they appreciate it even if, you know, that you're trying.
Right.
They do. It goes a long way, trust me. As a tourist,
right.
They do not treat you as a tourist. They treat you like one of them because you're even trying.
Right.
You know, and they teach you even more stuff that are even more complicated. Even the dirty words, you learn everything right there. And they just treat you like one of them. And that has been very, very beneficial for me.
Right.
Whatever foreign country I go to, I do that.
Right.
And, yeah, so that's how I pick up on languages easily. I love the local
phone. That is very interesting. You're like the only model that is fluent in so many languages. And I meant to ask you this in the beginning. Who influenced you as far as when you're modeling? Who were some of your
Despite the fact that I didn't go to a model agency with a book in hand and say I want to be a model, remember I was picked off the street with a business card.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, it helped that I had seen the likes of Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell, or Chrissy Turlington, and the likes of those girls back in the day on a fashion show. And I used to see them on Elsa Clench TV show on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to watch them then. And Big Boobs runs in my family. I remember growing up, I was still budding. You know, you're still kind of growing. And I don't know where I got the idea of, like, to slip on something hard.
Mm.
You know, a very hard pillow, you slip on it, so it stunts the growth. So I wouldn't get big boobs, because growing up, I look at it the wrong way. I don't see any model with big boobs. I just thought, oh, it's not fashionable to have big boobs. You don't look pretty when you're wearing couture when you have big boobs, you know. So I grew up watching those girls on the runway on the TV show. And then, before you know, I ended up there myself. And, you know, then later, front row seats at the couture shows at Dior, at Chanel and whatnot, and, you know, collecting the designs. So it's amazing. 180 degrees.
All right. That's very interesting. Now, as far as with your music, who influenced you as far as music-wise?
Oh, gosh. This particular album, it ranges from George Michael to Grace Jones, Nina Simone, Cecilia Evora to, you know, even David Bowie. But Grace Jones in particular, I love her. I'm a big fan of her work. You know, it's like singing without boundaries and rules. You just let out. You sing as you want. You sing what you want. Like the same way when I was in the studio, I didn't write the songs or sing with, oh, my God, will radio accept this? Uh-uh. That's not what I did. I sang what was in my heart. I sang it in the style that I wanted to sing it in. And it was a matter of throw it out there to each his own. I'm not expecting everybody to love it because it's a very different style, of course. I didn't go by what's on the radio. You know, I always believe there's every lid for every pot. I'm not expecting every lid out there to be the cover for my pot.
Right.
You know, there's one or two lid out there will fit that pot.
Right.
And I've always gone about my life like that, which is just do what you want to do from your heart. Someone out there will like it. Not everybody, but at least someone.
Right.
Another man's meat is another man's poison.
Right.
So that's, you know, basically how I did my album.
Okay.
And
now, I saw in a picture you met Prince Edwards.
Yes, I did.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was a very charming man. And I remember he wanted to talk about the oil in Nigeria because, you know, we have oil.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's a very nice guy, a gentleman, a hardcore gentleman. It was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it very well, yeah. It was a very, very sweet guy. We had a great time. It was a good party.
Okay, and I know that was, you know, an honor to meet him. Now, he's the prince of, what is it, France?
Yeah, I believe he's the last son of Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the youngest. I think he's the fifth one, yeah. He just had a son not long ago.
Okay.
Son or daughter, I remember, yeah.
Okay. I don't follow them too much. I'm not going to keep you long. I was honored to have you, and this interview is like no other, let me tell you. It's like no other. It's different.
Oh, thank you.
And,
I'm very honored to hear that. It's
honor. I mean that. And once again, you're more than welcome to come back anytime that you see.
Oh, sure. Thank
and,
you.
As I always tell all of my guests, if you need me, call me. If you need to borrow money, if you need help with payments, let
I'm
me know.
I'm holding you on that one. Careful what you say. Come knocking on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning. Remember what you said on record? You said you're going to find any money? I'm gonna come over with my my twin kids.
Oh my goodness. But Tinu, is that how you pronounce
Tinuola
it?
Tinu, yeah.
Tinu, it's such a beautiful name. And
thank
what
you.
Does that name mean, by the way? I mean, what
it's actually
mean?
A shortened part of Tinuola.
What does that
Tinuola
mean?
Tinuola means I come from happiness.
Oh, okay.
I come from the core of happiness. And Tinu is just a shortened, it's like you have your Jim James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's name is James, or you call him Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone is William, you call him Will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how Tinu came about. And my mom calls me Tinu. And the same thing goes for my handbag line and jewelry line. They're Tinu. That brand is Tinu.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And how's the accessory line coming along?
Oh, it's coming along great. I have some hardcore collectors that love to collect my items because they know I don't mass produce my items. They're all made here in New York. I don't make anything in China. I don't believe in mass production. I've always been a big fan of haute couture. Haute couture meaning not made for the masses. It's one of a kind. You could wear it 20, 30 years from now. It's still in season. It's not advertised in magazines like, you know, mass produced stuff you pick up a hanger. You know, that's the kind of mentality I put into my designs. So
right.
I don't design because, this is the season now. I got to go mass produce all this collection for the market. I don't do that.
Right.
So if someone could email me right now and say, I want that shoe bag, because especially the shoe bag, which are bags that happen to look like shoes, that's how much of my addiction is. You know, people email me and say, I want it to be done in diamonds. I want it in gold medium. I want it in solid crystal, whatever. So it all depends on the budget. So, you know, I tend to do a lot of one of a kind sometimes, you know. But, you know, that's basically it. It's just I have a few collectors and they love it. And a few department stores order it and I make it for them. Also, I do a lot of private label, meaning you have a store. Your name store, the name of your store is XYZ. I'll make designs for your store and name it XYZ. You want to see my name on it.
Yeah.
So I tend to do a lot of that too. Hello, you there? Timothy?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Your accessories I was talking about, correct? Good luck with that, your accessories, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything that you're doing in your career, and I wish you success. And look forward to having you back on the show again, of course.
Likewise.
And you want to give any shout-outs or anybody you want to acknowledge?
I'd like to acknowledge who that worked on this album. Rennie Grant is a great, great guitarist. Lalu, she was an excellent co-producer. Victor Williams, percussionist. Daniel Chain for being there for me, backing me, making me survive it. My mom, wow. And all my fans, basically, for being there and wanting something different. You know, something from the ordinary, something, wow, like, is she crazy or is she good? You know, for just being there. And I'm very happy about that. And I have them all to thank for making this very possible. Yeah.
Once again, Tanya, it was an honor to have you. And please come back. Let's be your last visit. And good luck with everything. And I look forward to meeting you in person. You know,
likewise. I'm here in the city, darling. I'm not far away.
Hopefully you're at an album release party or one of your events that are coming up. I wish
sure.
I could have met you. I was, I do the show here in New York, but I was just at a huge meeting at Def Jam actually a week ago, to believe it or not.
Oh.
And, you know, I could have met you, you know, I could have invited you there, you know.
Sure.
So, but nevertheless, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You.
And you have a blessed day. And,
you
know,
come
back now.
Sure, I will. I promise. Trust me.
All right. You
haven't heard last of me.
Okay.
Thank you, darling.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Miss Tinu for coming on the show, brilliant supermodel. I love her so much. She's such a brilliant interviewer. I love to interview her many, many times. She's interviewed like no other. Shout out to Adam to her. Look out for her new album. She's coming out pretty soon. It's going to be in stores. You don't want to. forget to pick up that album when it comes out. Nevertheless, she has accessories that you can also go and buy, and she's a great model. She's probably the sister of the legendary Beverly Johnson. I think she's going to be better. But nevertheless, this is the Timothy Hot Show. Once again, you know this is one of the best show on Blog Talk Radio, in my opinion. Nevertheless, I want to jump to some more music. Shout out to everybody for listening and tuning in. Actually, I want to do a template. I'll have my entertainment report the next show. Shout out to Tenu once again for coming on the show. I'm going to head jump into Mr. Kenny Lattimore with the title Weekend. Shout out to Marcus Houston for that record entitled. Here's Mary J. Blige featuring Jahlil entitled Rainy Days.
Yeah. Rule, baby. Mary J. Blige. Murray Hank. Smile.
It's just those rainy days. Shines again.
on smooth with a banger.
Yeah.
Lie.
What it do, shawty? You know it ain't tricking if you got it.
Tricking if you got it, what you asking?
Shawty, you know that I got that cash. You don't even have to ask. Have anything you want to. Cause I can make it rain on you. Cause you know it ain't
tricking if you got it. Tricking if you got it. Tricking if you got it, what you asking?
I'm on pilot, I'm walking through the profit. And everybody know it ain't tricking if you got it. I'm digging in my pocket while I'm sipping this Bacardi. Might throw a couple dollars here, plenty if you smile. If you drizzle on your pilot, but I really ain't beside it. Just feel as though I got it, cause it really ain't the object. Just scoping out your body while your body, popping like, don't stop it. Let me go back in my wallet.
Sure you know that I got that cash. You don't even have to ask. Have anything you want to. Cause I can make it rain on you. Cause you know what I'm
tricking if you got it. Tricking, tricking if you got it. Tricking, tricking if you got it. What you asking? Tricking if you got it. Tricking, tricking if you got it. Tricking, tricking if you got it.